In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. Find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org. Click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation: Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
What is it like to grow up as the poster girl for sold-out Christianity, to imbibe of all the Christian fads that swept through Christianity in the late 80s and 90s, a purpose-driven life and the prayer of Jabez, to buy into it completely, and yet still not be fed with the Word of God, hearing a lot of do's and don'ts and how to improve oneself, but not receiving that which brings genuine transformation, at least on a regular basis. Maybe when you first became a Christian, you heard that Jesus died for you in particular, that he is there in the mercy and forgiveness for you, but then to have that taken away and replaced with self-improvement. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. Reformation Week continues. Our theme is Paths to Lutheranism. On this Monday afternoon, we'll talk about Dr. Edie Wadsworth's path from evangelicalism. She's a speaker, physician, and life coach for women. She's author of the book All the Pretty Things and a column for the Issues Etc. journal titled Wittenberg Trail, A Present Tense Gospel. Edie, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thank you for having me.
You say that you grew up as the poster child for the sold-out Christian. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I grew up in a broken home, and neither of my parents were believers, but I got invited to go to a church down the street from me on their bus ministry, and began going to church when I was quite young, to this Baptist church, and kind of followed the path of evangelicals, I guess, back in the 70s and 80s, and went to all the church camps and memorized all the scripture and witnessed, carried my Bible to school and witnessed to my friends. And there was a whole movement back then called sold out Christianity, and I was for sure part of it.
Why were you baptized 8 times?
Yeah, I write about this in my book because at the time I didn't find that at all disturbing. Now that I'm a Lutheran, I can kind of see why it looks strange to other people. But what happened back then is when the churches that I was in would do the traditional altar call, and every time they would do the altar call, I would feel like, oh my gosh, maybe here I am still sinning. And maybe my first salvation didn't take, so maybe, you know, I need to go up to the front again and make a new dedication of faith. Maybe I'm not really saved. I was kind of always questioning my salvation. And so, yeah, I think I was baptized 8 times just to make sure it took.
What kind of preaching were you hearing that would kind of elicit this kind of uncertainty in you?
Yeah, it was mostly, I mean, every now and then when I would go to like a revival, you would hear gospel preaching, Jesus died for you and you can get saved and get forgiveness for your sins. But after those sort of hallmark gospel preaching sessions, what we would mostly hear is how you should be living, you know, what your life should look like now, what your, you know, relationships should look like. And I always felt like I just wasn't measuring up. Like, maybe there's something wrong with me. I can't seem to keep this law. It felt like a lot of law sermons, and I just didn't seem to be measuring up.
So the gospel was for somebody else other than you, or it was for you, but only your past self. Is that accurate?
Yes. It was for me, but now I should be getting on with it. I should be getting better. I should be getting more spiritual. I shouldn't still be struggling with sin. And that's just not in reality what I experienced. Honestly, often I felt more sinful, because I think the more you become aware of your sin, the more you realize that you hardly do anything without sinning. And so there was really no relief, because I was always looking to myself and my progress and my good works and always falling short.
Talk about what you call your addiction to Christian self-help books.
Yeah. So I went through a period of time in my 20s where I fell away from the faith. And honestly, I think part of the reason I fell away from the faith is because of a lack of the gospel. It just didn't feel like good news to me anymore. So I met my husband and we decided, maybe we should try to raise our kids more in the faith. It was really popular back then, and this is probably 20, 25 years ago, it was really popular back then for these Christian self-help books, and I had every one that was published. I kind of scoured the bookstores for them, and I read Rick Warren's book and a lot of Beth Moore's books. I just read everything I could get my hands on, and it felt like a little more of the same, like just try harder, just try this method, do this thing. And again, I just felt like I was continually not measuring up to my ideal of what a Christian should be.
How did you end up marrying an agnostic, lapsed Lutheran?
Well, Steve and I met when we were both in medical training, and I had fallen away from my faith to some degree. Stevie had taken a serious nosedive away from his faith. So he didn't even claim to be a Christian when we first met. But even though I had been away from the faith, I felt like, there's a lot of good to this guy. I bet I could evangelize him. And so the more we talked about spirituality and faith, and the more digging I did, I realized he was raised in the faith, but he doesn't speak any of the language that I grew up with. And the way he talked about faith and Christianity was so different than anything I'd ever heard. And at first it kind of irritated me, because I thought, I'm the sold out, or at least I used to be the sold out Christian here. I'm the one who knows all the scripture. I'm the one who follows all the gurus. And then he was trying to sort of present to me this gospel-centered faith that he had grown up with. And we were kind of at a crossroads, because I didn't know anything about Lutheranism. And as far as I was concerned, I grew up thinking that Catholics weren't Christians. So surely these Lutherans probably weren't real Christians either. And so it took me a long time and a lot of humility to sort of even be willing to hear him out.
How did your husband react to the preaching that you were hearing at the time?
Well, probably the way most Lutheran men would. He would sweat profusely in the the very law-centered gospel sermons that he heard. And he hated, he's very stoic Midwestern, so he always hated the part in the service where everybody's supposed to shake hands. And he finally said to me, I don't mind to try some churches with you, but you're going to have to be willing to come try mine too. And so that is how I got introduced to Lutheranism.
Did you do any church shopping?
We did. We went to probably, 5 to 10 churches that we tried during that period of time. And there was a little Lutheran church here in our town. And the pastor there, ironically enough, was one of my patients. I was practicing medicine at the time. And he was just one of the most unique people I've ever met. And so sort of the influence that he had on me, and then my husband at the time, wanting to try a Lutheran church. So we agreed to do it, and we walk in this Lutheran church, and here's my patient, who is the pastor, who I already loved and adored. So I guess, I didn't stand a chance after that.
So eventually you reluctantly tried that Lutheran church. Your first impressions of a Lutheran church, coming from, as you say, kind of complete ignorance of the entire tradition?
Oh, I hate to even think about it because I was so arrogant. I think at first I was just put off, honestly, by what I considered to be like the stodginess of it. It felt so formal. The vestments, our pastor wore vestments, and that kind of reminded me of Catholicism. I was intrigued a little bit by communion, but overall, it took a while. It wasn't kind of like an instant, oh my word, I love this. But I will say that the pastor's catechism classes that we started attending after that were really, really crucial for me in my, I guess you could call it, conversion to Lutheranism.
Talk about attending those classes.
Well, he was so patient with me. I look back and I just cringe at my arrogance. I mean, this is a man who studied all the languages, who knew the scriptures backwards and forth, who knew the church history and the traditions. And I'm just like pounding him with questions about infant baptism and the real presence. And there was such an arrogance back then. I'm so grateful. I wrote him a letter. He ended up baptizing our two girls, and it almost makes me emotional to think about it, but I wrote him a letter after that, and I just thanked him for his care of me and his pastoral teaching and patience. And I've said this often, but I think there's a special caliber of people in the Lutheran pastors. There's a certain humility. He wasn't overtly trying to sell me on it or convince me of it. I think he knew that it was the Holy Spirit's work. And he was gentle and kind and so patient. And finally, I was able to see.
We're talking with Dr. Edie Wadsworth. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Our theme, Paths to Lutheranism today, her path from evangelicalism. What was it like to gain an appreciation for the historic Lutheran liturgy? We'll hear her answer next. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These listeners have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Reformation Club benefits include shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for confessional Lutheran churches. Learn more about joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Lynn 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with Jesus' mother and brothers, Parable of the Sower, Purpose of the Parables. Jesus explains the parable of the sower and the parable of the wheat and tares. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
For your next family vacation, consider our beach house. A charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Augustana Lutheran, Moscow, Idaho. Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Our Savior Lutheran, Winchester, Virginia. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan, St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana, and Trinity Lutheran, Scarsdale, New York. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week, our theme, Paths to Lutheranism. We're talking with Dr. Edie Wadsworth about her journey from evangelicalism. Folks, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club is the backbone of our financial support. It's a small group of faithful listeners who pledge to support this worldwide outreach monthly or annually. Membership benefits include shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. You can find out how to become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Edie, what was it like to gain an appreciation for the historical liturgy in a Lutheran congregation?
Oh my goodness, I'm so in love with all of it now. And at the same time that I was coming into the Lutheran faith, I had given up my practice as a family doctor and had started homeschooling my girls in the classic traditions. And so at the same time that I started learning about historic Christianity, I began to dive into the work of C.S. Lewis and G.K. Chesterton and George MacDonald. And so it was kind of like this whole baptism into the historic faith and thinkers that were prominent at the time. It was really an amazing time of learning for me. I'm so, so grateful for the liturgy. I'm so grateful for the church calendar and how that allowed us to teach our girls to walk through the seasons and the years. And yeah, it's been so incredible.
What was the hardest doctrine or hardest element of Lutheranism for you to finally swallow?
I would say probably infant baptism. We ended up, after our year, we spent almost a year with the pastor before our girls were baptized. And I never imagined that I would get to the point that I would allow my children to be baptized without a confession of faith. But teaching that I heard on Issues Etc., a lot of teaching that I heard from Will Wheaton and just a lot of your guests just helped me so much understand the teaching of infant baptism. Communion was a hard one too, but I would say infant baptism was, once I got over that hill, the rest of it felt easier.
How did this, what you call the present tense gospel, how did that come clear to you?
Yeah, so I kind of had always, before I found Lutheranism, I had always operated from this place of, okay, now you're saved, so go get after it. Like, now you're one of the workers. So it always felt like it was past tense. And what I started to hear in Lutheranism was every week I would hear the gospel. And I realized how powerful even just that one piece of it is. I mean, communion is my favorite part of the week, but there's something so comforting and reassuring about knowing that every Sunday you're going to hear the gospel. And one of the ways that it came alive for me is in 2010, and this was about 3 years after my conversion into Lutheranism, our house burned down and we barely got our kids out, and it was horrific and traumatic. We didn't even question whether or not we would go to church the next Sunday. We just went to church. And even that to me was surprising because it always felt like church is not the place to go when you're that kind of desperate. So we go to church on that Sunday and just as broken as I've ever been. And the pastor read from Romans 8 and it was just the most comfort that I can ever remember feeling. And I thought, this is crazy to me that this gospel, which I always thought was for someone else. I mean, I've had it once and I got saved. I always operated with that. Like, you had it then, now you just got to get on with it. But this gospel, which was so present for us in our suffering. And I remember hearing Will Wheaton teach that at some point, that you should be able to go to a Christian service, whether you just lost your husband or your house, or you just won the lottery, and get the same comfort of the gospel, that Jesus is for you, that this salvation is for you today. And at that point, I knew, like, there's something so special about this faith that is right now for me.
You had mentioned the Lord's Supper being the favorite part of your week. Why is it so important to you?
Yeah, again, I think it's always in my life as an evangelical, I looked to myself for evidence that I was a believer. I looked to see, like, okay, are you praying more? Are you more sincere? Are you helping the poor? You know, what are you doing with your money? I always looked for evidence of my faith in myself. And communion gives such a beautiful, tangible way that you can look for evidence of the faith. There it is. I'm eating it and I'm drinking it, but it's not in me. It's His body, His blood for me. And that tangible, not just reminder, but that tangible gospel is so much more comforting than looking at ourselves and trying to find evidence that we're saved. No, we look to Christ, and we look to Him in baptism, and we look to Him in the Lord's Supper. And there you go. There is the evidence.
In retrospect, you say that there is a genius to evangelicalism that Lutherans could learn from. What is that, Edie?
Yeah, I said this in the article that I wrote for Issues years ago, and it does still stick out to me to this day. I lived in a little area where the church that sent their bus ministry to my house was across town. It was 15, 20 minutes away. And there was a Lutheran church about 200 yards from my house. And sometimes I think, like, wow, I mean, that church could have reached out to me. If somebody had come to me from there, maybe I would have saved myself years and years of striving and wondering if I was saved and all of that. And I'm so thankful for the church that did reach out to me. I'm thankful for the gospel and thankful for the people who cared so much for me. But I do think that there is something about the zeal of evangelicals often to share their faith that we as Lutherans can learn from.
If you could go back to your younger self in evangelicalism, what would you say to that young woman?
Oh, I have so much compassion for her, because it is a very difficult place to live when you're always looking to yourself to see if you're measuring up. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we're not measuring up. And I wish I could go back and tell her, you don't have to measure up. Because I'm still kind of hopelessly addicted to self-help. I'm always trying to figure out ways, you know, I can get better. How can I be a better wife? And I think most of us as believers, we really do want to grow in these areas. And I remember I heard Whedon speak on Issues, and he said, the way you can think about it is that the holiness that you want to grow into has already been given to you. It's already yours. It's the gift of your baptism. It's the gift that He continually gives in communion and absolution. And we get to grow in that. What I was trying to do was strive for that. I was trying to earn it, and it's exhausting and really almost made me an atheist. So I would for sure go give her some gospel.
Dr. Edie Wadsworth is a speaker, physician, and life coach for women. She's author of the book, All the Pretty Things, and a column for the Issues Etc. journal titled Wittenberg Trail, a Present Tense Gospel. You'll find links to this column, Edie's book, and to her website at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Edie, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we will conclude a conversation begun earlier with Pastor Peter Bender on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. We'll talk about the authority of parents that they have temporally, and parents as chief catechists in the Christian faith. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. simplyclassical.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
The seasons are changing, the weather cooling, and it's almost time to commemorate All Saints' Day and the Reformation. That means it's the perfect time of year to celebrate our faithful pastors. Ad Crucem has an excellent selection of gifts for clergy. Come and see our pictorial crucifixes, Christmons, posters, art, greeting cards, wooden plaques, or, if you can't decide your favorite, purchase a gift card of any denomination. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.